Pray together. Oh Lord, we echo the words this morning, Noel, the birth, the worship of Jesus Christ. Come and see what you have done. Lord, as we reflect upon what you have done, Lord, enable us, equip us, transform us to be your ambassadors. That is our prayer this morning, Lord. We need your help. We ask for you to transform us from the inside out. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How much time have you spent this past week entertaining yourself? Entertaining yourself. I've tried to list through some things. I need your help a little bit this morning. Ways that we entertain ourselves on a regular basis. Netflix, Hulu, sports, movies. Classify that as TV shows. Then you've got your reading of books, magazines, articles, blogs. Then you've got your playing of sports, hunting, fishing, hiking, biking, building or making stuff. Then you've got your Facebook, Twitter, Candy Crush, Xbox, your Nintendo Switch. Then you've got your fitness, running, exercise, time at the gym. I'm sure I'm missing something. But these are ways that we in America entertain ourselves. Things that we do to pass the time and give us some sort of joy in life. And even if they're short-lived joys or your team loses, you've still been entertained by what's happening. We live in a world like no other, in a culture, in a day and age like no other, and where entertainment is valued and more dollars each and every year are being spent on entertainment. And I have a question that is worth asking to us as Christians is, what part does entertainment play in our lives? What part does entertainment play in our lives? Where does it rank on the list of our priorities? And does our Christian faith affect how we place entertainment in our lives? I will never forget being at a pastor's conference. Dr. John Piper was there preaching, and this was years ago, and the phrase that he said, and this was over 10 years ago, the phrase that he said that stuck with me was this: we as a people are entertaining ourselves to death. And that has rung in my head for over 10 years, and I have to guard myself as a person not to entertain myself to death. And I have to figure out as a Christian, and as a church leader, what role does entertainment play in my life? Because it's there. It's not like it doesn't exist. But what role and what priority does it get in my life? I encourage you to ask yourself the question, especially in light of what the Scripture teaches. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up to 2 Corinthians this morning. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians and Romans primarily. We've been reading through the Bible. This is our story of redemption. And I want to turn the conversation to say, how does entertainment and how does our lives as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, how does that fit into the story of redemption? The story of redemption. And I want to give you my hypothesis, and that is this: that there is a purpose for our redemption. There's a purpose for our redemption. In other words, we weren't just redeemed as a historical fact in our lives as part of a process. You think about making something. If you're making something out of wood, you might cut the wood. And then the next stage in the process would be you sand the wood. And then the next phase of the process is you glue the wood. And the next phase of the process is you stain the wood. Well, sanding is one part of that process, but you don't think about it anymore when you're using your cutting board. You don't think about the sanding process when you're using it for the purpose. What I am saying is that I believe that our redemption must be more than just a historical part of the process. It must be something that we consider on a regular basis. It's not just something that has happened to us and then we leave it alone and don't worry about it anymore. And then just entertain ourselves for the rest of our lives. I believe my hypothesis is this, I'm presenting to you, is redemption plays a role in our regular lives. And let me see if I can verify that with you through what the scripture teaches. I do not believe we were created for entertainment. I believe that we were created for glory. I do not believe we were created for entertainment, to be entertained and to entertain ourselves. We were created for something that is greater, and that is for glory. And I can give you an example. I could ask you one-on-one, name me five things that you received for Christmas last year, and I'll give you 20 seconds. Can you do it? And my guess would probably be for most of you, no. Because those things, while they're nice, they don't last. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's begin. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to whom? God. To God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made manifest, or may be manifested, or made known in our bodies. Notice that I'm going to stop right there. What is the first word of verse 10? What is the first word of verse 10?
Always.
Remember that sanding process? You're not always sanding. But here, my hypothesis, my idea to present to you is this. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Always carrying around in our body the fact that Jesus died so that the life of Jesus might be made known in our bodies. There is an always happening so that. And what is the so that, church? Help me out. Read it for yourselves. What is the so that? So that we can make known the life of Jesus. Do you see it? It's right there in verse 10. We have been redeemed so that we can make known the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Christian, you are different than the world. I cannot blame anybody in this world who is not a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ for entertaining themselves to death. I can't. Why wouldn't they? If you look at the majority worldview, we are a clump of cells, and what are we trying to do is find happiness and joy in this life, and how do we do it? By entertaining ourselves. It fits the worldview. And you see that why our culture is where it is because they don't have a verse like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, to say, always carry around the death of Jesus so that you can make known the life of Jesus. They don't have something like that to drive their lives. So when you look around and you see the masses of people entertaining themselves, you go, I see why. However, as a believer, one who is under the authority and under the guidance of the scriptures that lead us in our lives, we do have a different authority in our lives and a different purpose for our lives. It's not merely to have joys day by day. It's not to find the flavor of the month that might make us happy that month. But rather, it is what, church? Help me out. It's to make known the glory or the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. When we become Christians, we trade our old lives for new ones. And that doesn't just mean we don't drink and smoke anymore. That's not the purpose of Christianity. It's a transformation of life. And it means that our whole worldview, our whole way of thinking is different. And that it's not about playing video games all day. That's what the world does, and that's fine. But we are called to a different purpose in life, and that is to make known the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to be more. If there's not, then we're just like the world. So all of those things we talked about at the beginning, all the hobbies and places our time goes, those are fine, and to a point. But that's not the purpose of our life. We are to make known the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christian, this is an encouragement for you. You know, our boy, Joe Burrow, won the Heisman last night. Greatest award in college football, at least individual award. We're happy for him. But in 2 years, 3 years, everybody around the country, they're not going to remember who won the Heisman 2 years ago unless they go look it up. These things are passing. In 50 years, in 100 years, in 200 years, they're going to say, the Heisman what? You think about what people 200 years ago were doing in 17 or in 18, 19, what were they doing? You don't know the awards that they were winning back then. Think about it. We are called to glory. That things matter for eternity. We are called to glory. Let me keep reading. Verse 11. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Talk about persecution. So that the life of Jesus may also be made known, may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see it? Christian, do you see it? You are made for something bigger. Bigger than a redfish. Catching the biggest redfish you can. Something bigger. Bigger than the latest stream on your phone or conquering the world in your favorite video game. You're made for something much bigger. You are made for glory. Let's keep going. Look at verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For this is all for your sake. Now listen up. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. It's all for your sake, so that his grace gets to more and more people. More and more people might be what? What's it say? Thankful. More and more people might give thanks to the Lord our God. So one of the reasons we're made for glory is so that as we proclaim Jesus, as we invite people to church, as we share the message of redemption, the story of redemption with people who won't come to church, as we are faithful to live out the Christian life, as we serve people who need serving, as we give of our lives, as we build ramps for people who need ramps at their house because they've had a stroke, as we do these things as Christians in our community and in our just day-to-day walk, people can receive grace and give thanks to God. You were made for something more. Think about it. What's more important? What's more important? Knowing the latest news and every detail, or making a difference and allowing someone to give thanks to the glory of God? What's more important? And we as Christians need to wrestle with these things, because the tie to things that just please us in the moment is so strong. I feel it. I feel it every day. But then you look at the scripture that guides us and you say, but people need to give thanks to God. He's worth more. He's worth more than this hobby, than this victory, than whatever I'm working on over here. The people giving thanks to God is worth more. So how do we do that? How do you do that? And I want to say, I can't answer that question for you. I can answer the question for me. There are things that I can do and that I'm trying to do and that I've made decisions to try to do differently, even this past week, to try to do better at investing in the kingdom work. So what can you do? I encourage you to ask yourself that same question. Let's keep reading. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hear this, church. Hear it. So do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's that process. Don't lose heart. This world and even our bodies are wasting away, but our inner selves are being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for what? For what? An eternal weight of glory. I told you. Y'all were created for glory. And here the Apostle Paul tells you. Momentary affliction leads to glory. And what kind of glory does he say it is? A glory beyond all comparison. So it doesn't matter how many kills you get in your favorite game or what level you accomplish. It doesn't matter if you know all of the information that you need to know on Facebook or Twitter. It doesn't matter if your team wins or loses in the grand scheme of things. In comparison to the weight of glory that we will obtain when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, there are eternal things that matter in a way that don't even compare. And Christians, as long as we are so, with like that ostrich, with our head in the sand, under the ground, as long as we are stuck in this world and the things of this world, we're going to miss out on the things of glory. I'm a basketball coach. Love basketball. I love coaching basketball. I love refereeing basketball. I just like the game of basketball. It is a fun game to be a part of. And yesterday I was at a game. I was refereeing. And as I ref, you kind of coach the kids and the younger ones. You kind of help them through the things. And I'm watching these kids dribble. They dribble like this, and then they grab the ball. They dribble a little bit more, and they grab the ball. And they look around. Is anybody open? And they'll dribble some more. Grab the ball. Anybody open? And I was telling the boys, you can't do that. You have to keep dribbling. Every time, if you grab the ball, you can't dribble anymore. You have to either pass or shoot. I said, when you dribble, learn to dribble with your head up, and you can look around and you can see who's open without having to grab the ball. Hey, Christian, is your head down? Are you so focused on the things of this world that you're not looking up and saying, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference today? There's something you can do today to make a difference. Every one of you, there's something you can do today. Get your head up. Get your head up so you can see there's a need. There's somebody I can talk to. There's somebody that needs a conversation. Right, Todd? Somebody needs a conversation. Get your head up, Christian. There's an eternal weight of glory, and there's something you can do to bring God's grace to someone today. Make a difference. Because when you bring the grace, they bring the thanks. So let's bring the grace. Verse 18, let me just wrap this up. This thought up. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Get your head up, Christian. For the things that are seen are transient. They're passing away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Y'all drove to church this morning, right? Did y'all notice anything on your way to church? It was foggy. It was fog. You drive through that thing and you couldn't see cars coming to you. You can open that door back there, Todd. Look outside. You see any? See any? Still there?
Sun's burning away.
Transient. Think about that fog. James told us about that fog. Life's but a mist. It's gone. That's what he's saying. The things of this world are. So as we make investments, guys, we make investments. Let's make it into things that are going to last. If I told each of you you had $100 a month you're going to put into your retirement, and I told you that I could tell you the future, that Biff came back from Back to the Future. He came back and told me the companies that were still around in 50 years. And I told you were putting your money in a company that's going to go bankrupt. Would you still do it? Would you still keep putting your money in those companies that are going to go bankrupt? Microsoft? Apple? Would you put your money in those? No, you wouldn't. I'm telling you, this world's going bankrupt. Let's invest into the kingdom. That's what Paul's saying here. It's eternal. It's going to last. Jesus told us what? Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Christian, we've got to think differently. We've got to think differently. We've got to get our heads up and know that eternity matters. Y'all, I'm preaching to myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here he is again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? He's what? A new creation. He's different. It's hard. I know we live in a world that people are so concerned about the things of this world. But we are a new creation. Our minds are not set on the things of today. They're set on the things of forever. You think of Jesus when he spoke. He said, whoever drinks this water will be what? Be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty forever. That's what Jesus brings. Forever. Eternity. Glory. He gave him bread. He said, you just come to me because you're going to fill your tummy. Your tummy's going to be empty in 8 hours. I am the bread of life. Eternal bread. Let me just get practical for a moment, if I may. What do we do with this when we read passages of scripture like this? Here's what we ought to do. We ought to ask ourselves questions. Ask yourselves questions. And questions should be, okay, what change then can I make? If this is what the scripture is teaching us, to focus on glory, to focus on forever, to focus on eternity, can I invest more of my time into that? And for some of you, it's, well, maybe I need to scale back on this hobby. And maybe I need to scale back on this job. Or maybe I need to scale back on this event that's going on in my life. And I need to take some of my resources and start looking up and saying, where can I invest these resources into something that matters? And I can't tell you where that is, but I can tell you the things that matter are the things that bring glory to Jesus Christ. So find those things that bring glory to Jesus Christ and invest into them. And I'm not saying that there's a magic potion to this. Sometimes it's saying, well, I'm going to take an hour of my week and invest it into children's ministry or men's ministry or ladies' ministry. And so I'm going to be a part of some group that meets or start a group at my office. And there's no magic. I can't tell you exactly what needs to be done, but I can tell you if you can reallocate some of your resources into things that matter, that's what life's about. We're Christians. We're not the world. And we've got to know that we are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So what can you do today, Christian? What can you do today? What can you do tomorrow? We are God's people. Let me keep reading this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All this is from God, this new creation business. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
That means we need to be a part. He's writing to the church. Hey, church, you need to be a part of reconciling people to God. So do things that make a difference eternally. Get your head up. And do something that makes a difference forever. This is us, church. Verse 19. That is, In Christ, God was reconciling the world, not just one place, but the whole world, to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see it? Hey, church, do something that makes a difference for eternity. Make decisions today that matter forever. The story of redemption is not just to give us pleasure today, but it's to invest into us forever. Verse 20, and here it is. Hear this loud and clear. Put on your big ears. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. If we never open our mouths, how can the Lord make an appeal through us? This is us, church. This is the church at Corinth. This is the church at Plaquemine. He is making his appeal through us. And if we just sit back and entertain ourselves all day, the devil wins. Because he shut us up. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled unto God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel message. That Jesus was made sin for you, so that you might be righteous, not entertained. Righteous. There's a new trend out there in the professional world. I learned about it last night. Where's my daughter? My oldest one. There you are. I'm looking right at you. Like, all right. My oldest daughter, Abby, had on her Christmas list something from Lululemon. Something like that. Is that right? Did I say it right? Lululemon? All right. You know what Lululemon is? So all you ladies do, as Carla knows. Some kind of overpriced fashion wear, right? Fitness wear. I didn't say that right. High-end fitness stuff. Well, they've started this trend, and it's called brand ambassadors. Brand ambassadors. Now, it's not really a new trend because we've seen it all along. And I thought about this, and I was looking up the definition of an ambassador because he calls us ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So thinking about the idea, what is an ambassador? If we're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's called us to be ambassadors here that we just read, I got into brand ambassadors. And you know what brand ambassadors are? They are people who believe in a product like Lululemon. I'm going to expand that out a little bit. Like doTERRA or Pampered Chef or Mossy Oak or Nike or you can fill in the blank with your favorite brand, DeWalt, whatever it might be. You've got these brands. And then the companies say, we're going to go find people that believe in our brand. So there's Stephen Ballmer. He's a big DeWalt tool guy. He's got his drill, and he bought it from Wayne. He loves his drill, and he loves his, what else you got, an air compressor. Does DeWalt make an air compressor? Yep, they make it all. Then he's got his radio for his shop. He's got everything. His shop is yellow with all his DeWalt tools there. He's ready to go. So we got Stephen Ballmer, and DeWalt says, Stephen, you believe in our products? We see your address showing up on all these warranty forms, and we want to make you a brand ambassador. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask you to tell all your friends how much you love your DeWalt tools. And as you do that, you're going to make us money. Because other people are going to be buying DeWalt tools. And everybody's going to have their DeWalt tools, or their essential oils, or their cooking products, or their fitness wear from us because you love our products. You're an ambassador for us. Go tell everybody how great we are. And you know what? People do it all the time. How many times have you been invited to a Lululemon, a Pampered Chef, a doTERRA party, or been told, man, you got Black & Decker, that's nothing. You need your DeWalt tools. Those are best. You need Mossy Oak camouflage because it's better than what's the other brand? I don't know. But you get the idea. Ambassadors. Ambassadors. Brand ambassadors. They got that from the Bible. You know that? Because a long time ago, a guy named Paul said, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ripping that off. You know that? I got to tell you, I got new. This is trending now. You're a brand ambassador for Jesus Christ, church. How about that? Now you're all in the trend. Y'all can walk out with a shirt that says Jesus on it. Or you can go to somebody's house and say, I got to tell you about my brand. My brand is Jesus. I'm a brand ambassador now. You get the point. We are ambassadors for Jesus. Stephen's shop's full of the DeWalt stuff. In my story, shouldn't we be full of Jesus? Shouldn't people look at us and go, man, you love Jesus. Because you are going to the nursing home. Or you're bringing people food. Or you're at Awana every week. Or man, you're teaching the men's ministry every week. That takes a lot of work and effort. That's hours a week. Or you're helping with the kids in nursery. Man, I know that's not easy work. I've seen the kids at FBC Blackaby. Our lives should tell a story that we love Jesus. And then that gives us opportunity to share the gospel message, the story of redemption, that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose again to give you life. That's what our lives should tell. And if we can use these other things to get people to know that we love Jesus, if we can build stuff, if we can paint stuff, If we can score goals, if we can do our job faithfully and not have to be corrected at work and disciplined because we're out of line, if we can do these things as a way to show people that we represent Jesus, not the firemen, we represent Jesus. We are ambassadors. So Christian, I'll close with this. You are made for something bigger. Make decisions today to make that happen. You were made for forever, not merely today. So go and do something today that makes today matter forever. And go do something tomorrow that makes tomorrow matter forever. We are new creations. Lord, use us. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be difference makers. Give us opportunities. Give us, Lord, the will not to be spiritually lazy. Help us to be difference makers forever. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.